Father, it is good to be in your house of prayer this morning, especially for those of us who have been instructed, Lord, for an entire week to go out, Lord, and to do the calling, Lord, of your gospel to the world around us, and where at least the one up front here is intimidated by that task, Lord, as it was made perfectly clear that I failed, and maybe many of us failed to do what we really ought to do. And so it's good to be in a familiar environment, Lord, on this day, and have a beginning of a week, Lord, that we feel still comfortable in our place, Lord. And we pray that we could move on into this week, move out of our comfort zones, Lord, and do your work, Lord. And yet we give you thanks and praise, Lord, for your blessings, Lord, already this morning in Bible class, Lord, as we could share some of the things, Lord, that were discussed in camp. Lord, we ask you for the blessing on this day, Lord, this morning and this afternoon, Lord, that we may be changed and encouraged and translated, Lord, but through your word. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we had made a plan already that I was going to do this morning sermon, that was maybe 2 weeks ago, I thought, well, that was easy. I will have a whole week to get ready for it. Well, guess what? This week was so busy in terms of meditating and focusing on what the camp was all about. I really didn't have any time. And so being totally immersed into this one theme we had at camp, I can't really move somewhere else. I really couldn't. So we have to kind of stick with the theme of camp and even with the text, because I really couldn't think of anything else. And it will be a little bit, and I don't think anybody was at the morning devotion, and I'm sure it's not live streamed either. And when I had the, so I'm going to kind of repeat myself a little bit there. And I would like to just reread the text we read this morning a little bit further back, because the Great Commission, as if you have titles in your, like the NIV, or have a title, and it starts with verse 16 in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 16 is what they call the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's the Great Commission, as we know it from Scripture. And we had the banner, and some of you will watch it live stream, or all those who were there. We looked at the banner every day, morning and evening. And it said that, and Jesus said, or Jesus said, go ye therefore. That was the text that was always, you know, looking at us. Jesus said, go ye therefore. And to me, and I'm not so sure this came out really, it's the therefore to me was in big, it was not in big letters, but this was to me in big letters. Therefore, why therefore? In a way, we just read this text, and I always read it, and always thought, okay, this is the commission. Oh, the disciples, the 11 disciples there, were commissioned, like people, you know, in the military, they joined the military, and you're commissioned to whatever, a platoon or whatever, to go and do something. You're commissioned to a service of whatever, you know, 40 years or whatever it is. And so they were commissioned to go and be his witness, as we read this morning, to be his witness all over the world, to all the nations. They were commissioned. Somebody, I overheard somebody in camp say that, there was a command, you know, and so I always felt really bad about this text, because I'm not very good in speaking to others, just, you know, waiting at the checkout counter at Wegmans or, you know, waiting in line at DMV. I'm not very good communicating to other people and just out of the blue air. So I always was kind of comforting myself with the idea, well, you share the gospel, if necessary, use words. So I tried to do that, you know, to live it. But you know what? We really have to use words. That really came out in this camp. We gotta use words, because otherwise, you can do all kinds of wonderful works, and people just, they don't get it. We need to use words. And so, when I was looking at this, you know, beginning of camp, I still had this feeling of, you know, I really haven't done my job, and it's really true. I have not. And I had an excuse when you have a company and you have employees, you really can't go and preach to them. But I had a few wonderful Christians that actually had their Bible right next to their workplace on a desk there, and they were preaching to the others. So I didn't have to use the words the government might, you know, say you can't do that. So it's the other employees did it, so that was good. But we need to do that with everyone, and I was troubled by the fact that I haven't. But I found this therefore being really important. Why does he say therefore? Why can't he just say, okay, and I'm now ascending to heaven, and I'm going to commission you to go out and do this, and just leave it at that? No, he says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. He has all the power on this earth. Go ye therefore. Why therefore? Because I think, and that's probably what's missed so often, he is doing the work. He has all the power on this earth, and he's gonna spread the gospel, and he's gonna invite the disciples, and he's gonna invite you and me to be part of this work. It's not us doing it. We're gonna have a plan A and then a plan B, and maybe we ought to do that, because that came out in some sermons, if you listen to them, or in some forums as well. We have to be, as Brother Dave says, we have to be intentional about these things. We have to think of how can I, you know, how can I get involved with other people if we are otherwise just isolated in our own house, like taking, as was mentioned this morning, taking the garbage out. You know, maybe you can connect with a neighbor that also takes the garbage out, or maybe you go and play golf, you know, and get, I know some neighbors, or not direct neighbors next to us, but I know some Christians in our neighborhood in Florida, and they play tennis and they play golf, and they use that to get in contact with other people. There's 1,350 homes or whatever in our community, and a little bit isolated. We're 7 miles away from any store or whatever, so we're kind of isolated there. But we have a golf course and tennis courts and so forth, and they go there and use this as a means to communicate the gospel to other people. So it's intentional. So we have to have that kind of a vision of being intentionally involved with others that need to know the gospel. And I got to work on that. I'm not going to pick up golf at this point anymore because I know it wouldn't be the right thing to do. But I'm sure there's many other ways I can get involved in. But I think that what really is going to release me, and we prayed that in our evening prayer meetings, we're really being released to do that because of the therefore. It's an invitation. He is doing the work. He went out there, he has all the power, and he was out there before the disciples went there. He was already there in the Spirit, calling people. And I'm going to read it, the same part in Luke, and we were kind of wondering if this was the last words there in Luke. It would appear, if it's exactly the same thing, it would appear it's the same. And I'm going to begin in Luke 24. Let's just begin at verse 44. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." I think this is the same text as we read this morning in Matthew. What I find there is he told them, go to Jerusalem until you are endowed with the power from on high, which we read in Acts 1. But then I find it, again, comforting a little bit. Behold, I send you on and tarry in the city of Jerusalem until endowed with power. How long did they tarry in Jerusalem? Years and years and years. They didn't go right away. If they would have followed this instruction here, they say, okay, now we have the Holy Spirit. Let's go. Let's move. They didn't go. And I didn't go. As we said, we can look back and wonder about why the disciples didn't get it right away. Well, you know, it's 51 years, and I still haven't gotten it the way I should. And never mind the disciples. I have to look at my life, and it's probably true for many of us. And actually, I think we came to the conclusion at camp that our denomination didn't go. We need to go. Meaning, we need to have a totally different understanding what this really means. It's not going take a bullhorn and go out in the street corner and tell people that we'll go to hell unless, because that really wouldn't do any good. But we need really to make it an intentional thing to reach out to the people that just are increasingly gonna get sucked into the world that is gonna lead everybody away from the knowledge of the truth. And you know, you couldn't listen. If you can, get the MP3s or whatever, where the forums are on. We had some amazing forums. Some of them actually a little bit scary. What is coming at us through technology, or already is here, because of technology, and it's tackling the very fabric of Christianity. And if it is allowed inroad into not only this church, into Christianity, period, we'll see a very conflicting time coming in front of us. And actually, one of the sermons was very powerful, almost like a prophecy. What's going to come down the road is going to be very different from what we experienced the last decades. We better be prepared, much better prepared, to not only to walk in the Spirit and walk as the ones that know the truth and live up to it, but also if we're gonna heed this instruction here. And some said it's a command, and I don't think it's a command. It's a commission, an invitation to go and teach, go and bring the gospel. That will be so much harder down the road, I believe, because with the influx of media, of all kinds of media that tackles everybody, it will be the evil one has that grip on society, if we can put it that way, that will make it much more difficult for us to actually even utter the words of the gospel. And so we need to just settle, at least in camp, it felt that way. We need to settle for, we're going to hit rough waters down the road here if we're really going to do what Jesus put in our hearts, to go and actually not only live the gospel, but actually use words to do it. Whether we are, you know, good at words, we are not all Ravi Zacharias and that can really debate people and so on, or John Lennox or whatever. But we don't really have to debate. That's not the gospel. Well, we don't have to know the Bible in and out or remember all the verses. I think we can simply just interface with people on a very simple way, on the day-to-day issues that we can get the conversation to a meaning. What's the meaning of life? Is there a meaning in some of the things that are meaningless, really, in everyday life? There is a meaning in everything if we apply the word to what we are doing and what we are observing. We can really put meaning in. Unless we have the word, the Bible, that teaches us what life is all about and where it came from and what it is, everything in this world is meaningless. Ultimately, everything is meaningless. And so we have the ability to give meaning to the things that other people experience that they really don't know why they're doing it and what it's for. Oh, they may just enjoy it. They may just do it because it's something that they love to do. But ultimately, everybody in this life will get to a point where they have to kind of question why they live and why they're even here. I'm just, right now, we were talking earlier, in a ministers' meeting, we were talking about the miracle we experienced at camp. Cara Freeman came to camp on Friday, and Brother Scott asked her if she would say something. And for those of you who don't know, Cara Freeman was close to death many, many times over the last 6 years, unable to even sit up for a long time, just in bed, getting making the wrong motion would just disable her with seizures of you know, all kinds, and just without hope for 6 years, really no hope. Many times kind of probably wondering, why am I here? And she is the most amazing example of a life lived as a complete total witness to the gospel. I mean, she didn't go out somewhere. She was in bed, but she did go out in a powerful way. And when she was speaking at camp for many, many there, I'm sure I've known her through emails and so on over the 6 years, It was amazing to hear her speak in front of 1,000 people. And then she actually was singing. What an amazing thing that she could sing after just a few weeks ago. I don't know, how many weeks ago, Scott? Six weeks or so, that she finally could come out of bed and sit up, and she could sing. What an amazing miracle to witness, for us to witness and to acknowledge that she is really a person that did exactly what the commission is here. When she could actually not even talk to people, and she was isolated in a hospital for the most of the time, or at home. So in other words, there is no excuse for me or for anyone. If she can do it, then anybody can do it. And so I'm really comforted by the therefore, because the Lord goes out and he's calling, he's doing things. And my problem is not to have the ear, the spiritual ear or the spiritual eye, to recognize where he is doing the work, where he wants to have me to come in and be part of what he is doing. And I'm going back to, and this was Houston Camp, and I want to, it's in John chapter 21. It was used in camp about putting the net out on the other side of the boat. You remember, they were there in Galilee. Here it says they were going to go to the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. But they were, before they went up to that mountain where Jesus had appointed them, Jesus met them at the Sea of Galilee. And you remember the story. They were fishing. They didn't know what to do. They were waiting for Jesus there to come and appear to them, but they didn't know what to do. Well, what did they do? They were fishermen. Not all of them were there, but the fishermen were there, and they said, well, let's go fishing. Peter thought, let's go fishing. That's the thing we really know. We don't know much else, but fishing we know, so let's go fishing. And so they went out in the evening or night and went out fishing, fished all night. Towards the morning, when it became a little light, they moved towards the shore, and there was somebody there at the shore with a fire, fish on the fire, ready for breakfast, maybe two fish, I don't know. And this person called them out on the boat and says, did you catch anything? He says, no. Well, then throw your net out on the other side, 20 feet over. And those are now professional fishermen that did this all their lives. And somebody tells them, put the net out on the other side. Yeah, sure. No, they did. And they caught now, 153 fish, I think it was. Big fish. Amazing. Why did Jesus tell them that? I think Jesus made sure they didn't catch any fish the whole night. I think he was there and made sure they didn't catch any fish, because they needed to learn a lesson that he has all power in the earth, all power. They had to learn a lesson that we cannot do really anything unless he gives the provisions. And they couldn't catch any fish. And then when he told them, okay, now I'm going to help you, put the net out over there, you're going to catch all these fish. So they come, but now what really fits in here, into this part that we are at this morning, is what happens thereafter. He had the fish ready on the fire. He had bread. He could just have said, come and dine. Come and have breakfast. And you know what? There were only, six or seven of the disciples there. He fed 5,000 people with two fish. And if you only had two fish in the fire, he could have fed all six disciples very easily. He could have just come and eat. Let's have breakfast together. He said, now bring of the fish you caught. Why did he say that? The same thing as he tells us, go ye therefore. He says, bring of the fish that you have caught, that I helped you to catch because you couldn't do it yourself. Bring of those fish, and we put your fish together with the ones I already have on the fire. And then we're going to share the breakfast. And I think he does the same thing here. He invites us into the work that he's actually doing. He's doing it. But he invites us to be part of it. And that makes me so much willing, enthusiastic about doing it, because it's now no longer a commandment. You're going to have to do it. And it's your job, and it's all up to you. No, he is doing it. My job is to listen and to watch of what he's already doing, and to be prepared. And we have to be prepared for that. We learned that too in our lessons. We have to learn how to observe what's going around us, where the Spirit is working, because ultimately we cannot convince anybody, not with debates, not with awesome knowledge of Scripture and how it fits. The Holy Spirit will have to do it, and Jesus will call somebody and bring us into our lives, and he has done that. I'm sure many of us, if not all, have had experiences like that, where we clearly understood, okay, this is a person that already has a need one way or another. And then we have a choice. Are we going to be part of this, what Jesus is doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing, I should say, or are we going to just allow it to bypass us? It's an invitation for us to actually be part of it. And building the kingdom of God, knowing that he has to do the calling of the person, he has to enable us to hear, he has to enable us to understand what the needs are of the other person. He has to do practically everything, but he wants us to be part of it. That's the commission. We need to be part of it. He will do the rest. And that's so much more easier to then go out when we know we're not the only ones that actually doing. He's already doing it. He just wants us to bring a little bit of our fish that we have brought by his power, by his help, and put it together with his. And in that way, we can be much more effective than if we would say, okay, now it is up to me to really work this out, and I'm totally unable to do it. That's where the devil will have defeated us already, right there at the beginning. But if we can look at it, he is doing this work, and I'm just invited into this awesome work that he's doing. It's so much easier. And I want to really make this a point from here on as much as I can to realize it is not just my job. I'm just there to be part of it and just to witness what he is doing, and using my words, not just my deeds, using my words as well. We'd like to close with that.